it, which I think makes the efforts of to push back even more laudable. Don't you agree?
Well, that's right. I mean, we've been talking in the show so far about several aspects of the Zionist movement, the central pillars of it, and Eve there mentioned a whole series of different Zionist groups, all of which are active in Canada.
Yeah.
But there's a hinterland to this. And of course, one of the things that you've mentioned there was the hundreds of charities. There are hundreds and hundreds of Zionist charities in Canada working on a daily basis to support the genocide, and including, of course, let's remember, the so-called Chabad Lubavitch cult, which of which there are 150 branches in the UK and more than 100 branches of Chabad in Canada. And nobody seems to know about that. And that's actually another part of the infrastructure of the Zionist movement.
Right. Well, I'm afraid that's all we've got time for today. So a special thank you to our guest, Eve Engler. And thanks also to our resident expert, Professor David Miller. Until next time, when I hope you'll join us again on Palestine Declassified, this is Chris Williamson saying bye for now.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints with me, Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Zain and Sheikh Rouhani. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sayyid Zain, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Before starting the program, I would like to congratulate our Muslims, brothers and sisters all around the world on Eid al-Fitr, the Eid of the servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the holy month of Ramadan. For today's discussion, we want to talk about Eid al-Fitr in the light of leaders' words. So the first point that really, we can say, attracted me is that the Eid al-Fitr in the Supreme Leader's speech is a day of collective clinging to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyid Zain. So what does it mean exactly?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Being a collective is one of the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives in the Quran. And you can see it in different places in Islam as well, that it's not a religion that, you know, focuses only on the individual. Unlike other religions where, you know, it's emphasized that a person, for example, goes and be by himself and, you know, contemplates and meditates and all these things. In Islam, it's very much so that spirituality and getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is linked together with the community.
Yes.
So now, clinging on to the rope of Allah, that's one of the commandments of Allah in the Quran.
That's right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْدُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا.
That's right.
That hold on together to the rope of Allah and do not separate, right? So it's not just that, you know, we're supposed to hold on to the rope of Allah.
Yes.
Right? Rather, togetherness is also emphasized twice, right?
Yes.
All together and do not separate in this verse.
Is the rope of Allah a symbol or a metaphor over here? What does it mean exactly?
Well, it has to be a metaphor, because if you take it literally, then it wouldn't make sense.
Because there is no rope to Allah.
Right.
Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, is it clear what is rope of Allah, mihablullah? What does it mean?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we refer to the tafasir of the Holy Quran, particularly the narrative or narrational kind of tafasir in which the ayat of the Quran is explained by the hadith and traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu as-salam, according to these ayat, the Holy Quran itself is one of these rope.
Yes.
It symbolizes that rope, that when you are connected with the Quran, the more you are connected with the Quran, it means that the more you are united, the more will be preserved, the more you will be protected.
Okay.
And the other best example of this rope is the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that you have to stick, or let's say, refuge to this rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that you have to seek actually what we can say, connection, or let's say communication, obedience, following of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam.
Okay.
because this way you will be protected, this way you will be getting closer and closer to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will find the true teachings of Islam. That is why you will be saved, you will be guided into the right path by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu wa-salam. So what matters most here is this, that Muslim ummah and nation must be united based on this ayah.
Very good.
And this unity can be achieved through different means. One of them is this holy month of Ramadan and fasting.
That's right.
In which all Muslims across the globe, they actually fast in this holy month. And they, for example, attend the congregational prayers.
That's
they,
right.
For example,
reciting the Holy Quran, helping
Quran,
the needy.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, breaking the fast with iftar, you know,
exactly.
The majalis over here.
Yeah.
One of the most
gives
important
us a kind of unity,
commonalities,
you know?
Between both Shia and Sunni brethren all around the world. So it is really a spiritual collective, we can say, experience for both of them. It is also a kind of attention, isn't it? To, I do want to say, that's right, to what we experienced during 1 month. I mean, 1 month we had, we have been fasting, hunger and thirst was over there. So somehow we experienced, we can say, the hunger and thirst of the needy and the destitute all around the world, okay? So, and on that day, Zakat al-Fitr is over there, which is going to be usually spent for the needy. So all in all, we could say that the Eid itself is not a mere celebration. It's not a festive. It is something to get your attention to something, again, spiritual, says it, isn't it?
Right. So there's a difference between celebration in, you know, in worldly matters.
Very good.
And religious matters.
Yes.
Celebration in worldly matters is like, you know, the I like to give this as an example of it. It's like when the football player scores a goal and he goes and, you know, he pumps his arms and that's a celebration in terms of the world, where a person says that, you know, I did it. It was me.
Uh-huh.
The emphasis on, you know, like me getting this blessing or whatever, right? Whereas the emphasis on, you know, in religious festivities, it's not that, you know, necessarily myself. It's more recognizing the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who, you know, allowed us this, you know, to be able to benefit from this blessed month, from the recitation of the Quran and the purification of the soul through fasting. And you know, after this, it's again not a, you know, celebration that I did it, but rather, you know, thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allowed us to be able to fast.
So you mean it is not an individual experience. It is, again, something collective. And your spiritual experience at the end of the month has to be shared with the other people too.
So
in
part
community.
Of it is that, yes,
yeah,
that
yeah.
emphasis on the collectiveness, but also
right.
part of it is also emphasis on not the individual himself, but rather on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
All right.
That it's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's not, you know, celebrating the self, but celebrating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His blessings.
Mm-hmm. Good, that's it. The Muslim's heart has to be as close as possible on Eid al-Fitr, Sheikh Rouhani. In fact, it is among the occasions from which the Islamic Ummah can benefit, and it has many, we can say, it is for, since it is for all Muslims all around the world, so they are after the same goal on Eid al-Fitr. So can you clarify for us what that goal is exactly? I mean, it is a goal at the end of a spiritual month, okay? So it is an end to a spiritual month. But again, I think it is preparing the ground for something new for all the Muslims around the world. What is that goal?
You know, the main goal or the main objective of the life of mankind is introduced or explained as ibadah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ.
Very good.
So this ibadah is the main objective of our creation, our lives, you know? So if that is the case, then all these, let's say, programs that are presented by Islam to us, like fasting, prayers, Hajj, or these kind of rituals that we perform in our lives, they are all actually completely in line with that main objective of life, that is ibadah, that is to worship Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in this holy month of Ramadan, the best thing that we can achieve is the best ibadah or the best version of ibadah. The one who is the true worshipper of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is achieving the main objective of his life, that is introduced to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how in ibadah you purify yourself. You know, the more you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you purify yourself.
All right.
The more you purify yourself, the more you get close and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is this closeness or nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the final and ultimate purpose of everyone's creation.
All right.
So that is why if the holy month of Ramadan can help us to achieve this nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are successful.
Okay.
If not, if you are the same as at the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan and nothing be achieved in this holy month of Ramadan. So of course, jurisprudentially, we, for example...
Yeah, we did something.
We did something.
Fast,
yeah, we did something. We may not be, for example, punished because of not fasting.
Okay.
But the spiritual aspect of this fasting is more significant and more important that every mu'min, every Muslim should check himself, test himself.
All right.
That, for example, what are the main differences that now he feels in terms of his own, for example, characteristics? That now he is different from the one who was before this holy month of Ramadan, for example, or not. Yeah,
that's right.
For example, some people, it is something habitual for them to use, for example, sometimes bad language.
Foul language, bad language, that's right.
Yeah, for example, sometimes listen to illegal or haram kind of things.
Music.
Or sometime watch or see some haram kind of thing. So if it becomes like something habitual to a person, he must check himself, examine himself after the holy month of Ramadan. That now, am I better?
All right.
Now when I want to control my eyes, am I successful to control it better as compared to the before the holy month of Ramadan? Or now again, I'm very carelessly listening to any, for example, kind of music,
Yeah, some people might think that the fasting is only up to iftar time and after iftar time up to suhoor time, I'm not fasting
this
or something. But if fasting continues, but in terms of eyes, ears, you know, control of the tongue, that's right. Okay.
Because iftar doesn't mean that now you're free, everything is
to
open.
It means
that you have to be again careful
And Sayyid Zain, how to keep fresh this feeling? The month of Shawwal started, okay, it is Eid al-Fitr. So you break your fast, you eat. How to keep fresh this type of a spiritual experience that you had during the coming month after Ramadan? This is a major question.
The first aspect of it would be that we're attentive towards this. Exactly what the Sheikh said, that just because the fasting has ended doesn't mean that we are completely free, but rather, you know, those commands of Allah are still there. Yes, we don't have to fast, so those ahkam, those commands are not there, but the other commands are there. So we have to, you know, be vigilant and make sure that we don't let ourselves completely free and go. Secondly, we have to try, right? And there's different methods that have been given to us to, inshallah, try to implement in our lives to make sure that it's we hold ourselves accountable.
Yes.
Right? One of them is the idea of muhasaba, the idea that every day we're looking at our deeds and seeing, okay, what am I doing today? What have I done today?
Yes.
Was it good or was it evil?
All right.
And without this muhasaba, you know, a person keeps doing what they do, what they're doing, and they're not attentive towards, you know, are they making mistakes or not?
All right.
And the other idea is of muraqaba, that throughout the day now I'm careful that, okay, those sins that I'm usually more likely to do, that over there I control myself.
All right.
So the idea that, okay, I'm always vigilant, I'm doing muraqabah, and I'm always, you know, accounting for myself, and I am doing muhasabah.
Yes.
So these two ideas, I think, are quite necessary that we have to continue. And I think it can't be emphasized, the idea that asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Because, yes, you know, the task has been given to us that we're supposed to control ourselves and change our habits and make sure we don't go towards sins. But it's a task that is extremely, extremely difficult.
That's right.
Right? It's, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself called it jihad al-akbar, the greatest jihad, controlling of the self and taming the self. And it's very, very difficult. And yes, we're supposed to try our best. But without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his help, it is very, very, you know, won't be able to do it.
Okay.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies whomever he wills, right? And he's the one who purifies.
Very
so,
good.
Yes, we try and we give our best, but the hope has to be there in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well.
That's right. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. Again, we congratulate all of you Muslims, dear brothers and sisters all around the world on this happy occasion of Eid al-Fitr, and inshallah, Palestine will be free. Tiana Albiso, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
show that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website at iranradio.ir. Log on to our website at iranradio.ir.
The catastrophic humanitarian crisis in Sudan has provided the UAE with a gateway into Africa, a continent rich in diamonds, freshwater reserves, and scarce minerals. Just as the boycott of American and Israeli brands has driven down multinational stocks, a similar movement against Emirati and complicit corporations can exert pressure to halt these inhumane wars against Yemen, Lebanon, Sudan, and Gaza. Regarding this issue, We have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Stevie wrote, "Have we fallen asleep to Sudan's relentless suffering at the hands of the United Arab Emirates? Has the world been blinded by dollar signs, golden visas, lavish award parties hosted by royals and towering monuments? Sudan deserves the same urgency and outcry that we give to other war-ravaged places to make it clear to world governments and capitalist corporations that their complicity in the ongoing genocide will not be masked by glitz, glamour, or diplomatic niceties. As Sudan's devastating war nears its two-year mark this April, the devastating war has taken a new political turn. The Rapid Support Forces, RSF, have reclaimed the presidential palace and other key buildings in Khartoum, asserting control once again. Meanwhile, the hidden forces driving Sudan's war are being further exposed. The Sudanese government has filed a case against the UAE at the International Court of Justice, accusing it of complicity in genocide against the Mosali people who are indigenous to Western Sudan and Chad, citing violations under the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. Sudan has claimed that the United Arab Emirates provided the RSF with weapons and financial support, fueling a war that has killed over 61,000 people between Darfur and Khartoum, according to data from London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine Sudan Research Group in November 2024. It has only become worse ever since. These deaths have resulted from direct violence, preventable diseases, and starvation. Alongside the UAE, other key regional players, including Saudi Arabia and Egypt, have enabled the RSF's continued atrocities. It is important to note how Sudan serves as the UAE's gateway into Africa, much like the Israeli regime is the US outpost in West Asia. Gold mines, cobalt, diamonds, vast land, and most importantly, access to the Red Sea makes Sudan a prime target for Emirati interest. This is not the UAE's first such intervention. Its extensive role in the war on Yemen alongside Saudi Arabia led to the death of over 150,000 people. Official estimates likely understate the real toll over the past decade. A 2021 UNDP report projected that if the war in Yemen continued, the death toll could reach 1.3 million by 2030, exacerbated by bombings, rape, kidnappings, forced disappearances, and the use of food as a weapon of war. Starvation as a method of warfare, a flagrant violation of international humanitarian law under Article 54 of the Geneva Conventions, continues to be deployed by the RSF, with the encouragement of the UAE. This mirrors, on an even larger and more destructive scale, the starvation tactics employed by the Zionist regime in Gaza, where Israeli regime warplanes supplied by the United States massacred civilians as they gathered flour and bread from aid trucks. The international community, major organizations, and the United Nations consistently failed to hold perpetrators accountable. Even when they issue condemnations, they hesitate to name those responsible. This selective silence is unsurprising, given that Palestinians and Lebanese continue to be killed by Israeli regime airstrikes using U.S. supplied bombs, while the world's institutions still struggle to utter the word genocide. The extent of this denial was on full display when the United Nations convened a special meeting in New York for the International Day of Commemoration and Dignity of the Victims of the Crime of Genocide in 2024, yet it failed to mention Gaza even once during the two-hour session. The fact of the matter is that the UAE seeks to model its relationship with Sudan after the US-Israel dynamic, a political and military outpost serving broader strategic aims. One need only observe the UAE's normalization with Israel, Israel's courtship of Saudi Arabia, and the Saudi-Israeli collaboration in Yemen to recognize the shared playbook at work. Gaza and Palestine are rich in oil and natural resources, providing access to reserves in Lebanon and Syria, secured through regional proxies operating under Western directives. Lebanon's Karish Field and Gaza's Marin Fields were coveted by Western powers long before 1947 as part of their broader Zionist Manifest Destiny expansionist projects. Given its track record, the United Arab Emirates should have no place on a global stage like that of the United Nations to speak about human rights, freedom, or democracy. It has quite the lengthy rap sheet, given that it doesn't really do things by the book that it claims to be such a role model in following. It flaunts a lengthy history of violations, from severe restrictions on free speech to widespread abuses of migrant and labor rights, contradicting its carefully curated image as one of the safest countries in the world with flourishing job opportunities. The war in Sudan is not merely a clash of regional rivals and allies. It is a war on humanity itself, akin to the genocidal atrocities in Gaza and Lebanon. These morally bankrupt conflicts serve as tools for Persian Gulf monarchies and Western hegemons like the United States and the UK to expand their dominance in the region. The catastrophic humanitarian crisis in Sudan has provided the United Arab Emirates with a gateway into Africa, a continent rich in diamonds, freshwater reserves, and scarce minerals. The RSF is nothing more than a hired gun in this grander scheme, while the casualty toll of women, children, and the elderly, and all those resisting oppression continues to climb. We cannot forget Sudan. We cannot allow its cries to fall on deaf ears, lest we grant victory to those waging war against the innocent. We must not turn a blind eye while money flows into palaces, celebrity-filled galas, the government summits, all while the purchases and taxes fuel the very entities orchestrating these wars. Just as the boycott of American and Israeli regime brands has driven down multinational stocks, a similar movement against Emirati and complicit corporations can exert pressure to hold these inhuman wars against Yemen, Lebanon, Sudan, and Gaza.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. Eid Mubarak everyone. Congratulations to all of you. At the first point of this program, today's a special from IRIB English Radio on the Feast of Fitr. Today is Eid al-Fitr, so we offer our congratulations to every Muslim brothers and sisters all around the world. Eid Mubarak. Today is Monday, 1st of Shawwal, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Farvardin, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of March, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Congratulations on Eid al-Fitr.
Eid is here, yes I can feel all the joy and happiness throughout the year. Allah's blessings on everyone, pleasing all the daughters, pleasing all the sons. Eid is here, so make dua, a chance for all to celebrate.
Eid is the day of special attention of Allah to His servants, recalling them to His presence, and the day of loving Him. Eid is the day of activeness, happiness, and granting of servants' requests. This day is the day of awarding and writing secure chit from hellfire for servants. Further, it is the time one may gather things that benefit him in the hereafter. Eid is a day which Allah showers His servants with His blessings and generosity. So at this time that the merciful Allah extended His generosity, how great it would be for pious people and sinners to confess their defects and faults and hope for receiving His grants. Surely they won't be disposed from Allah's grace. Now how beautiful it would be to call our Lord this way. O Allah, we repent to you in our day of fast breaking from every misdeed we did, ill work we sent ahead, or evil thought we secretly conceived, and unanswering repentance rid of doubt and wavering. Eid Mubarak to all of you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. This is Ali, your host. Today we are going to talk about this issue of Eid al-Fitr and the philosophy of Eid. Eid al-Fitr, often referred to as the festival of breaking the fast, is one of the most significant Islamic holidays celebrated by Muslims worldwide. It marks the end of the holy month of Ramadan, the holy month of fasting, and is a time of joy, gratitude, and communal unity. The philosophy behind Eid al-Fitr encompasses spiritual, social, and ethical dimensions, reflecting the core value of Islam. Eid al-Fitr is a celebration of spiritual renewal and gratitude. After a month of fasting, prayer and self-discipline, during the holy month of Ramadan, Muslims express their thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the strength and guidance to complete this sacred obligation. The festival symbolizes the purification of the soul, the forgiveness of sins, and the renewal of one's commitment to faith and righteousness. Eid is a time to acknowledge Allah's blessings and mercy. Muslims thank Him for the opportunity to fast, reflect, to grow spiritually during Ramadan. Completing the fast is seen as a spiritual victory, a testament to one's dedication and self-control. Eid al-Fitr fosters a sense of community and togetherness. It is a time for Muslims to come together, strengthen bonds, and celebrate their shared faith. The day begins with a special congregational prayer, Salatul Eid, which is performed in mosques or open spaces. This prayer symbolizes unity and equality, and as people from all walks of life stand shoulder to shoulder. Eid is a time for visiting family and friends, exchanging gifts and sharing meals. It reinforces familial and social ties. Muslims are encouraged to invite neighbors, colleagues, and even non-Muslims to join in the celebrations, promoting harmony and understanding. One of the key aspects of Eid al-Fitr is the emphasis on charity and helping those in need. Before the Eid prayer, Muslims are required to give Zakat al-Fitrah, a form of charity intended to purify those who fast from any indecent acts or speech and to help the poor and needy. This obligatory charity ensures that even the less fortunate can partake in the joy of Eid. It is typically given in the form of food or money and must be distributed before the Eid prayer. Eid encourages Muslims to extend kindness and generosity to others, embodying the spirit of compassion and social responsibility.
On the day of Eid al-Fitr, Imam Ali delivered a sermon in which he said, "O people, verily this day of yours is the day when the righteous are rewarded and the wretched are losers. It's a day which is similar to the one on which you shall be standing before your Lord. Therefore, when you come out of your homes to go to places of your prayer, remind yourselves about the day when you shall come out of your bodies to go to your Lord. When you stand on places of your prayers, remind yourselves of your standing in the presence of your Lord. And when you return to your homes after prayer, remind yourselves about your returning to your homes in paradise. O servants of Allah, verily, the minimum reward for those men and women who fasted during the month of Ramadan is an angel who calls out to them, saying, O servants of Allah, rejoice the glad tidings that all your previous sins have been forgiven." Dear brother and sister, today is Eid al-Fitr. Congratulations to you and Eid Mubarak. Fitr marks the end of the month of Ramadan. We say farewell to the blessed month, its beautiful days and its fragrant nights. In the previous nights, we prayed, offered charity, and attended lectures. What will happen now? Have we fulfilled the requirements of taqwa and graduated from this school with the diploma of the God-fearing? Eid must not just mark the end of Ramadan, rather it should be a new beginning where we emulate our character and Islamic values, which we have focused upon for the past 30 days. We are like a child out of the womb, pure and innocent. Eid is the day of victory as we have succeeded in subduing our desires and purifying ourselves. Let's not wash away our good deeds and revert to our merry old ways. Let the masjid still overflow with worshippers. Let the Quran be the most essential part of our lives. Our condition should be better than before this Ramadan.
Kindness in our hearts, when all the fun starts, exhilaration. Smiles everywhere, delight in the air, jollification.
Of course, and that's where we see the norm in the Muslim societies, that, you know, whether as a family, or with a circle of relatives and friends, or sometimes even collectively, you know, we have this celebration with something sweet or even full meal at the end. So there's nothing, you know, negative about it. This is part of life, and Islam also accepts that in that way. Actually, there was a person by the name of Suwaid bin Ghafla. One day he came to visit Amir al-Mu'minin Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. On the day of Eid, and he saw that, you know, there is wheat bread there, and also, and there was a tray which had some what we call firni. You know, it's kind of a sweet dish. And, you know, he looked at Amir al-Mu'minin and says, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, Yawm Eid wa Khatifa. You know, it's a day of Eid and Firni. And this is where Imam says, Innama hadha Eidun man ghufira lahu. You know, it is a right, actually, to celebrate, even with sweet dish, for somebody who has been forgiven. So in a way, he links that celebration is fine, it is okay, but make sure, you know, you are worthy of that Eid on Eid al-Fitr. And that only happens if we have, you know, observed at least most of the rites of fasting, you know, because there are people who only are Muslims on the day of Eid. They don't fast at all. And this is where we have to realize that, yes, it is a celebration, but we have to make ourselves worthy for that celebration.
Eid Mubarak to all of you, and have a very, very nice day.
Feeling so good, smiles and greetings everywhere. Eid Mubarak to everyone out there. Whole families, they gather and celebrate. Today's the day, so come on, no time to waste. Sometimes the world takes us so far, though miles apart. Today you're in my heart. Let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Celebrate, let's celebrate. Allah, Allah, thank you for this day.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM, 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio presents The Month of Allah. Let's be with Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
As I look to nature's beauty, dazzled am I, knowing everything calls on you, the Lord Most High.
Welcome to the program, Month of Allah. For an entire month, you brothers and sisters have fasted. For an entire month, you have prayed and worshipped, and you have reached a new connection to God. And I congratulate you this wonderful Eid. May this Eid be Mubarak for you, Eid al-Fitr. Because the minimum thing that we receive for our Eid is that we are free from our sins. Therefore, when we come to the masajid, when we come to the mosques, we come as a free person because we have left those sins behind us. But also one of the actions that we perform in this day is also we recite dua-i-nutba. This dua is a dua that we do, that we cry for the absence of our imam, that he is not with us. That one day, inshallah, we can celebrate Eid al-Fitr when Imam Zaman can come back and we will pray behind him, inshallah. When a person awaits for Imam Zaman, and it's important that in such a day, the day of Eid al-Fitr, we remember him. When a person awaits, they can await as a scholar, as an alim, and they understand the role of Imam Zaman, and they understand the goals that he has. But also a person can wait as a arif, as a mystic, a person that understands and connects to Imam Zaman. Because not only can you connect with him and understand with him through your mind, but also through your soul that you connect with him. And on such a day, we can connect to Imam Zaman, especially during the occultation of him. We connect to him and we benefit from him. Because as the traditions say that he is watching over us, one of the people that love to see Imam Zaman, and it is recorded maybe about 1,200, 1,100 years ago, is Ali ibn Mahziyar Ahwazi. He was a person that went to Hajj maybe almost 20 times to see Imam Zaman. And it says that in the last year that he had glad tidings that he would be able to see him. So when he goes to Mecca and he sees one of the companions of Imam Zaman, he asks and says, Al-Imam al-Mahjub al-Alam, I'm waiting for the Imam that is hidden from the world. But the companion of the Imam corrects him and tells him this, says that, Ma huwa mahjub ankum, he is not hidden from you. Walakin hajabahu su'a amalikum, but indeed your actions have caused you to be a barrier between you and your 12th Imam. Brothers and sisters, we understand that we're able to connect spiritually to Imam Zaman. That is our duty, to think of him throughout the day, to think of him and remember him, that he is hidden from us. It's how we read in Du'a al-Nutbah that it is difficult for me to see the creation, but not to be able to see you, Imam Zaman. That we have hidden ourselves from the Imam, that there are many people that during the occultation that have a very strong connection between themselves and Imam Zaman. So in this Eid al-Fitr, when we celebrate and also we read Du'a al-Nutbah, we congratulate ourselves that our sins are now forgotten, but also we should remember Imam Zaman and understand that we have to await for him with our mind and also with our soul, that we connect with him spiritually, and that we know that when we call Ya Mahdi, as Ayatollah Bahjad, our great scholar, says, before your ears hear it, Imam Zaman hears Ya Mahdi, that he is watching over you, and that you can develop your connection between him.
قال الإمام الحسن عليه السلام أسلم القلوب ما طهر من الشبهات.
Imam Hassan عليه السلام said, the soundest of hearts is the heart that is pure of obscure matters.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
La ilaha illallah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the Zionist regime of Israel is the only proxy force in the region which invades other countries on behalf of the world's colonial powers. Israeli forces kill over 60 civilians in a single day across Gaza, increasing Palestinian death toll since the resumption of the regime's genocide to over 900. And the United States conducts fresh airstrikes on Yemen's capital following the Yemeni army's successful operations against the US and Israel. I am Bahman Roy and this is news. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the Zionist regime of Israel, as the proxy force of the world's colonial powers, is committing genocide against Palestinians on behalf of these colonizers. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei made these remarks after leading the Eid al-Fitr prayers in Tehran's Grand Musalla.